iHeart Podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
All right, so I'm thinking about joining this VIP lounge at Disneyland. You know, the one we were talking about, Club 33, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it sits right above the Pirates of the Caribbean, right there in New Orleans Square. You get access to all sorts of memorabilia, all the perks. And I was actually just reading the other day that there's a chance you might run into some of the other rumored members, like Tom Hanks and Elton John.
Yeah, but isn't there like a decade-long waiting list for it?
Supposedly, but come on, don't be a downer on this. And I'm going to need to borrow $25,000 if you don't mind, but we can talk about that after the show. But, you know, over the years, we've heard some pretty crazy facts like this and some of the other secrets of Disneyland and other Disney parks. You know, things like the secret basketball court at the top of the Matterhorn mm-hmm. ride, or Walt Disney's hidden apartment above the fire station in Disneyland, which actually is still there, by the way. So we thought it'd be fun to share 9 of our favorite facts about Disney and its parks. So let's get started. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And on the other side of the soundproof glass, wearing his Save Mr. Toad t-shirt, is our friend and producer Tristan McNeil. I like that one. I think that's my favorite shirt he's worn so far. And we've got a special guest with us in studio today, Mango, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got the managing editor of the brilliant HowStuffWorks.com, Allison Loudermilk. Welcome, Allison.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we're going to dive right in. So we've got 9 facts that we might not have known about Disney. So let's get started. As our guest, we're going to let you go first. Allison, what you got?
I am delighted to go first. So as you were just talking about, Will, there is that private apartment that Walt and Lillian used to have in Disneyland. And one really cool thing that I loved about it, kind of gave me the warm fuzzies, was that Walt would be on the Disneyland premises quite a bit. And it was kind of like a small little spot, 500 mm-hmm. square feet. Decorated.
Oh, that is small.
Yeah, quite small. Decorated in the Victorian era, filled with, you know, some fun stuff for Walt and Lillian to pass the time. Mango, are you paying attention?
Sorry. Yeah. I heard it was a small apartment.
In this very small apartment, there was a special thing that I think you would like. Do you know what it was?
What's that?
A grilled cheese maker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Seriously. Wow.
Pretty cool, huh? So one of the cool facts about this apartment was...
Oh, I thought that was your fact, that there was a grilled cheese maker. That's awesome, though.
No, that wasn't my fact. There's a better one. So one of the cool things, and I think you guys are going to like this, kind of gives you the warm fuzzies. It gives me the warm fuzzies, was that Walt always had the light burning on in his apartment. And when after he passed in 1966, Disneyland decided to keep that light burning on for him. So if you ever enter the park and you go by the Main Street Firehouse and you look up on the second floor, you'll see the light burning. And so it's kind of a reminder that Walt Disney is still alive in all of us.
Oh, wow. So it stays on 24/7.
It does.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
That's really awesome. All right, good first fact. Mango, what you got?
So this is one of the strangest things that's happened at the happiest place on Earth, and it's that the Beatles officially broke up there.
What?
And so this is way back in December of 1974, but that's when John Lennon actually signed the papers that officially dissolved the band. And there's a photo of him like signing the papers. And in the background, you see the Polynesian Village Hotel. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is pretty crazy. Yeah. I had no idea about that. Is that where they fired Eddie Murphy when it was the Clarences before? I don't know if you remember that sketch from SNL. That's pretty interesting, too. All right. Well, I've got one. I'm going to start. Let's see which one I want to start with. Since you talked about them, you know, officially breaking up or almost officially breaking up there, I will start with a different kind of contract. And that was one that almost happened. That is, Disney almost opened a park in St. Louis. So in the 60s, Walt himself was personally involved in coming up with the plans for a Midwestern park. It was going to have a theme around old St. Louis and rides around the Mississippi River and the Old West. Animatronics of Thomas Jefferson and Napoleon would have talked about the Louisiana Purchase. So all these plans were in order. It looked like they were going to move forward. And then Walt looked around and realized that he could buy a ton of swampland in Florida for a whole lot less money. And so they decided to go for that. And so in 1965, they announced that they were no longer going to be moving forward with this. But we almost had a park in St. Louis.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Allison, your second fact.
Okay, so when the lights go down and all the guests are clearing out of Disneyland, there's a whole nother sort of life that comes on as night closes in. And so there's, of course, a hardworking night crew that does things like repair and repaint and do all the things that guests have weirdly done during the day. But there's also a whole lot of cats.
Oh, dear. It's terrifying.
That start prowling Disneyland. And the thing is the Disney folks are okay with this. Why are they okay with this, do you guys think?
You know what? Does it have anything to do with rodents?
Vermin.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. So they have about 100 cats currently like roaming the grounds, and they take care of them too. They've spayed and neutered the cats. They have permanent feeding stations installed in two of the parks, and they generally provide like routine veterinary care, like vaccinations and things like that. Maybe a little flea treatment just to make sure they're not transmitting those pesky fleas.
Well, that makes sense. You want to get rid of the smaller mice so that you can concentrate on the bigger ones.
Right.
So the interesting thing is they've taken a little flack about it over the years, too, because cat lovers have different feelings about trap and release programs and spaying, neutering, all that stuff. So some people want to see the cats have a permanent home, while some people are totally okay with what Disney has going on now.
So these are just feral cats that are just around and kind of in hiding during the day, and then they come out at night?
Yeah, although they're not totally in hiding. You can spot them, and people do spot them, and cat lovers do. And so there's a whole thing online, as you might guess, and it's called Disneyland Cats. You can find them on Instagram. There's one particularly photogenic fellow, and his name is Francisco. He has his own hashtag, Francisco Fridays. He's lovely. I caught a photo of him, and he is bathed in a sunbeam. And it looks like he's pondering life. He's got like this coat of brown and orange, and that just like his coat is aglow. It's lovely.
Oh my goodness.
Looks like a lovely Disney cat.
Well, despite the fact that I'm pretty scared of cats, that is sweet.
And finally a reason to go to Disney, right?
Right.
And
to see the cats.
Exactly. All right. Well, Mango, what do you have next?
So this is a story I never would have found without the wonderful Stacey Conrad, but she told me this crazy fact about how Walt Disney actually kidnapped Richard Nixon.
What?
So this is when Nixon was VP, and apparently in 1959, Nixon visited Disneyland to dedicate the whole new monorail system Walt had built. And when he and Walt took off, the Secret Service was caught off guard, and they were just standing out on the platform outside, so they weren't inside the train. But here's the funny part. So they like raced around, the Secret Service is all worried, and then as the train starts pulling into the platform, the Secret Service starts like chasing to catch up with the train, and then Disney takes off again. Apparently as the train was slowing, like Nixon's daughters were so excited that they started yelling again, again. So, you know, Disney of course
appeased
them.
Wanted to keep them happy. Oh, that's pretty great.
But what's the weirdest part about this is that the monorail had only been tested one time to that point. So Imagineers were actually worried that it might break down or even catch on fire with Nixon and his family on board.
Oh, wow. You know what's even more weird than that?
What's that?
I also have a Nixon-related Disney fact.
So no way.
Of our 9 facts, 2 of them are related to Nixon. And mine is a little bit different, a little bit less fun, and that is the fact that he delivered his I Am Not a Crook speech from the ballroom of Disney's Contemporary Resort Hotel. Did you know this?
No.
I never knew this until we were digging stuff into this. So in 1973, he's buried in the Watergate scandal. Well, there's a gathering of the Associated Press managing editors there, and it's some sort of conference, and he decided to take this opportunity to go speak to them. Mm-hmm. And he sits down for a one-on-one interview, and that's where he delivers that famous quote of, I am not a crook.
That's so crazy. So the Beatles and Nixon.
Yeah, I know. There's some big history that happened there. All right, so it's our last fact of the day. Allison, you got one more for us?
I sure do, and this is a good one. Okay, so in 1946, Disney gets together with Kotex, or rather Kimberly Clark, who, as we all know, is the big multinational corporation, and they make a lot of consumer products. And Kotex, in particular, is a maker of women's hygiene products, like, you know, things like liners and pads and tampons and stuff like that.
Yep.
So they get together and they're like, yeah, let's do this thing. Let's tell young women the story of menstruation. And so I watched the film a bunch of times on YouTube. There is this.
A bunch of times.
I did. Yeah, absolutely. It's there's this lovely lilting narration throughout. Very practical, too. A lot of common sense. She is uncredited, which bummed me out because I wanted to find out who she was. And so she takes you through the whole. She takes young females through the whole story of menstruation. And there's. I found it to be a good refresher course, honestly.
Was this distributed somewhere or like shown in theaters before movies or where was this?
It was shown to millions of kids in health education classes.
Oh, okay. Oh, Very interesting.
It's pretty wide-ranging, too. Once you get through the actual mechanics of menstruation, there's a lot of advice that comes with it. And they do a little myth-busting, which I particularly dug.
Yeah.
As far as exercise, it's good for you.
Yep.
Do, in fact, shower when you're going through menstruation. That's a good thing as well. And some other stuff. I just got a kick out of it.
Well, that is super interesting. Okay.
I know. It's crazy that Disney was in the sponsored content game that far back.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mango, you got one more.
Yeah, so mine is strangely an underwear-related fact. And so this is a headline I found from 2001, and it caught my attention. It was in the LA Times, and it reads, quote, "New contract gives Disney workers clean underwear."
And so, what?
What? Say it again?
So apparently, thanks to their Teamsters union, Disney employees negotiated a new contract where they received individual underwear, and they no longer had to wear the communal underwear that had been supplied.
Wow.
So basically, this is how it worked. Like, you get your Goofy or Minnie Mouse costume, and then you wear it for the day, and then you turn it back into Disney services for laundering. But something wasn't working because enough people got lice and scabies that they had to change the rules. And now employees not only get their own underwear, they also get to wash them themselves.
How sweet.
Oh, lovely.
Wow. All right. Well, that's kind of a scary fact, but I decided to also end with a bit of a spooky fact as we're getting closer to Halloween here. And this one has to do with the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. So according to Jason Searle, who's the author of a book called Pirates of the Caribbean: From the Magic Kingdom to the Movies, they apparently used to use real skeletons in this ride when you would go through it because they were worried that, like, fake skeletons or fake bones wouldn't look real enough. So they worked with UCLA Medical
Center. All those discerning kids.
I know, yeah, like, that's not a real skeleton. Everything else here looks super real, but not those skeleton bones. And so they worked with UCLA Medical Center in order to get real bones. And this was the case for a little while until they decided that maybe this was a little bit insensitive to be using these actual bones from real dead people. And so they decided to return the bones. But apparently there's a lone skull and crossbones looming in the headboard in that scene where a long dead pirate is sitting in a bed. I think he's clutching a magnifying glass. So that's the word. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say, that that's the lone skeleton, real skeleton still in there.
I love the idea that, you know, like, some people donate their bodies to science. If you could just tick the box that donates your bodies to, like, Disney, how great that would be.
I would totally do that. I mean, give your organs to better causes, right? But when it comes to the bones, like, sure, that'd be awesome. You'd be forever remembered as part of a ride, so.
I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Disney World?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Disney World. I've never actually been to Disneyland. Yeah. 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 But Mr. Tristan over here is passionate with his Save Mr. Toad. I hope it happens one day, Tristan. Good luck with that. All right, Mango, so those are our facts. What do you think? We got to give out a trophy today.
Well, I feel like you presented some good facts and I had some good facts, but I really love the feral cat story along with the menstruation story and the lamp one. So I feel like Allison really deserves it.
All right. Congratulations. Your first visit here and you get the trophy.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
I like how you couldn't quite figure out what you were, but thrilled is what you decided on. So
quite thrilled.
That's terrific. We'll be back with a full length episode tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening.